toward all sorts of arguments, from the most ridiculous conspiracy theories that the vaccine will introduce certain chips to control the population, to the more political allegations that, although the vaccine is not mandatory, in fact, by requiring it in an increasing variety of situations, individual freedoms will be curtailed. Although it may be somewhat incoherent that extreme right-wing sectors, which due to their historical background have not exactly been champions of liberties, now stand up as their great defenders, the truth is that they do, but in a qualified capacity. It can be admitted that by implementing these measures, the provincial government, in this case, is limiting an individual freedom, such as the one of wanting to be vaccinated or not, and having access then to certain activities. But then we must immediately make an important clarification. Freedoms are not absolute. They never have been. In this regard, we must distinguish between the private and the public spheres. A person has every right to listen to his favorite music, and if he wants to do so with the speakers at maximum volume, he has the right to do so. But if he decides to do so at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that disturbs his neighbors, they have every right to call the police. The freedom of an individual ends where the freedom of others begins, it is said. And in the case of the vaccination passport, we thus find a typical case of individual versus collective rights. And in Quebec, this has been seen before. Bill 101, which imposed limitations on the use of English, was implemented, supposedly, in defense of the collective rights of the French-speaking population, in defense of their language. Controversial at the time, it is now accepted by virtually everyone, and there is no doubt that it places a limit on freedoms. An immigrant or a francophone who wants to enroll his children in an English school in Quebec cannot do so. The collective right of the French-speaking community was considered to prevail over the individual freedom to choose the type of school for their children. But probably the most emblematic case of limitations on individual freedom, and very pertinent because it also had to do with health care, is the limitation on the freedom of smokers that virtually all governments have imposed since about the end of the last century. Those of you old enough can remember must have images of those times when you could light up a cigarette in practically any place. Suddenly, and because of the evidence of how cigarettes can cause serious illness, not only to smokers, but even to those who receive what is called second-hand smoke, smokers have found their personal freedom to indulge in what is certainly a pleasure for them, very limited. Why then all this agitation about alleged infringements of freedoms? Note that the vaccination passport is only required for non-essential activities. A non-vaccinated person will still have unimpeded access to hospital care if needed, or to file a report with the police if he or she has been the victim of a crime, to go to the courts of law, or to buy, to go shopping, or to do business in any government office that requires his or her presence. By the way, these are extraordinary times, and in these circumstances, what corresponds is the care of the health of the population, that is to say, clearly, the collective right, the welfare of the community, especially in this case, the protection of people's health, is paramount. Good day.
mi pecho tengo el corazón abierto y en mi mano hay una línea que me deja caminar. En mi pensamiento algún lugar es secreto y mis ojos los testigos de lo que quiero contar. En mi piel los años tienen un contrato que renuevo con la vida para volver a empezar. En mi boca la palabra se madura y mis ganas solo quieren que no deje de soñar. Y en mi cara vientos del sur, y en mi vida parte de ti, y en mi agenda un día normal, y en un libro ganas de oír despertar junto al mar y reír. En la llama de una vela está prendido lo que espanta mis temores cuando tengo oscuridad. En mis oraciones guardo algún milagro para que cuando sea viejo Dios me deje al cielo entrar. En mi campo de batalla soy soldado que controla la tristeza si me quiere ver llorar. En mi anhelo tengo el alma de madera y mi fe es el carpintero que no deja de tallar.
Recuerdo aquella vez que yo te conocí, recuerdo aquella tarde, pero no me acuerdo ni cómo te vi. Pero sí te diré que yo me enamoré de esos tus lindos ojos y tus labios rojos que no olvidaré. Oye esta canción que lleva alma, corazón y vida, estas tres cositas nada más te doy. Como no tengo fortuna, estas tres cosas te ofrezco, alma, corazón y vida y nada más. Alma para conquistarte, corazón para quererte y vida para vivirla junto a ti. razón para quererte y vida para vivirla junto a ti. Recuerda aquella vez que yo te conocí. Recuerdo aquella tarde, pero no me acuerdo ni cómo te vi. Pero sí te diré que yo me enamoré de esos tus lindos ojos y tus labios rojos que no olvidaré. Oye esta canción que lleva alma, corazón y vida. Estas tres cositas nada más te doy. Como no tengo fortuna, estas tres cosas te ofrezco: alma, corazón y vida y nada más. Alma para conquistarte, corazón para quererte y vida para vivirla junto a ti. Alma para conquistarte, corazón para quererte y vida para vivirla junto a ti, 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 junto a ti. Corazón y vida, estas tres cositas nada más te doy. Como no tengo fortuna, estas tres cosas te ofrezco: alma, corazón y vida y nada más. Oye esta canción que lleva alma, corazón y vida, estas tres cositas nada más te doy. Para vivirla junto a ti, alma para conquistarte, corazón para quererte y vida para vivirla junto a ti, junto a ti, junto a ti, junto a ti, junto a ti. Oye esta canción que lleva alma, corazón y vida. De mi billetera,
junto a ti, junto a ti.
Yo solo te traigo amor, no tengo más que darte a ti.
Junto a ti, junto a ti, junto a ti.
Y al fichero latino de hoy, 29 de agosto de 2021, en anuncios de interés artístico, llamado a artistas inmigrantes que quieran promover su trabajo a través de talleres. Artistas que se interesen pueden contactarse antes del 4 de septiembre de este año a la dirección email siguiente: info@nativeimmigrant.com. Edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en la Belle Province, Chilean Presence in la Belle Province, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Herbas, ya está a la venta en librería Argos en el 1915 St. Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph 2220 McGill College Avenue. Precio $10 más impuesto. The book Chilean Presence in la Belle Province, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en la Belle Province, written by Sergio Martínez and Roberto Herbas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1915 St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue Price, $10 plus tax. La edición francesa Présence Chilienne dans la Belle Provence está a la venta en la librería de la Universidad de Montreal, 3200 Jean Briand, campus de la Universidad de Montreal, y en la librería Bertrand, en el 430 Saint-Pierre, en el Viejo Montreal. Présence Chilienne dans la Belle Provence, versión française du livre Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, est en vente à partir de cette semaine à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, 3025 Jean Briand, angle de Sales, c'est le campus de l'Université de Montréal, prix $10 plus taxes, et à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre de Montréal. Y anuncio de interés público, la vacuna contra el COVID-19, las reservaciones están abiertas en Montreal. Para ser vacunado contra el COVID, consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés e inglés. También se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Y usted puede ganar también hasta $1,000,000 en la Lotería de Quebec para todos los que se hayan vacunado. Las inscripciones se hacen en el internet yendo al sitio quebec.ca/concours vaccination. El sorteo de 1,000,000 tendrá lugar el 3 de septiembre. También hay premios de becas para los menores de 18 años. Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Chubascos con una temperatura máxima de 24 grados. Para esta noche, chubascos nuevamente con una mínima de 21 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tiene alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com. Y también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook, vía facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime, y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección: www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado, presionando Latin Time.
Sierra Nevada. sin quererlo no, se ha de escuchar entre sueños su voz.
Balcón florido, balcón limeño, balcón que con sus rosas cubren galanas mi eterno ensueño, balcón donde se guarda la tierna imagen de mi ángel bello, balcón donde una noche cual dulce virgen la contemplé, balcón dile que sufro porque no puedo llegar a ti, balcón, dile que sufro, porque no puedo llegar a ti. Balcón de antaño, balcón florido, balcón limeño, balcón que con sus rosas cubren galanas mi eterno ensueño, balcón donde se guarda la tierna imagen de mi ángel bello, balcón donde una noche cual dulce virgen la contemplé, balcón dile que sufro porque no puedo llegar a ti, balcón dile que sufro porque no puedo llegar a ti.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
Porque de lo perdido lo recuperado. Hoy me guardaré tu recuerdo divino. Brazos.
This is Margie Barrett of Lansdale, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and it is our broadcast for Sunday, August the 29th. We thank you for tuning in and joining us on the show. We're here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. Our show is live streaming and archived on the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome Jose, Robert, Arjun, Richard, and Julian joining us this week. We are up to 626 members. And our YouTube channel is where you can find our show also archived. It's up there each week within an hour or so after the live broadcast. And we have 421 subscribers there at the current time. You can find us there at youtube.com/International Radio Report. And hopefully we'll have some special editions coming up in the near future on there as well. So go back. You can check out older shows on there as well. We have a number of stories for you this week, including a couple things about long wave, which is always interesting. So we'll get to those in a little bit. First off, though, we're going to kick off the show with the announcement of the Radio Hall of Fame 2021 inductees. I think we had the story about the nominees a little while back, a few months back. Well, now we've come up with the decisions. And Paul McLean of Radio World has written an article about it. Erica Farber and Bill Simmering, prominent figures in U.S. commercial radio and public radio, respectively, are among eight new members of the Radio Hall of Fame. The Museum of Broadcast Communications also named its first 33 Legends inductees, one for each year of the Hall's existence. Farber is president and CEO of the Radio Advertising Bureau and the former publisher and CEO of Radio and Records. Simmering played a critical role in the founding of National Public Radio. The other inductees are on-air talent people. They are Brother Wheeze, Elliot Siegel, Dan Patrick, Kim Commando, Javier Romero, and Preston and Steve, also known as Preston Elliott and Steve Morrison. They will all be honored at a ceremony in Chicago in October. The Radio Hall of Fame was founded by the Emerson Radio Corporation in 1988, and the museum has run it since 1991. The Radio Hall of Fame also decided to recognize past innovators who have since died. While the industry celebrates 100 years of existence, the industry's Hall of Fame is only 33 years into existence. The centennial milestone provides an opportunity to recognize the talents and efforts of 33 individuals in 2012 as well. We don't have the full list. I'm going to post the article that has all 33 of these individuals. But there are some pretty famous names on here of people going back who, if you did a lot of medium wave DXing, you probably heard some of these people over the years or in your local town if some of these people were DJs in your city. The legacy inductees include the following people: Jackson Armstrong, air personality in Cleveland in 1960 through the 1980s on WIXY, WKYC, and also WKBW in Buffalo and other stations as well. Dr. Joy Brown, a syndicated talk radio air personality based from WOR-AM in New York City. Don Cornelius, an on-air personality at WVON-AM in Chicago. Ron Lundy, air personality in New York City from 1960 through the 80s on WABC, then on WCBS-FM. Murray Kaufman, better known as Murray the K, air personality in New York City, 1950 through 1980s on stations WINS and WOR-FM. And Allison Steele, air personality in New York City, 1960 through 1980s on WNEW-AM, and then over onto WNEW-FM. So those are some pretty famous names. As they said, they're honoring past innovators who have all passed on. So this is a post-mortem recognitions for these people in memoriam. So a lot of these, I remember hearing a number of these on the radio over the years, and there's a lot more of them, not necessarily as famous as these ones. We'll post up the list of the full list of these people being recognized, so you can browse through it.
Yep, some of these names brings us a little back in time in our earlier days of radio listening. So we have a news from Arab News via Radio World about three radio stations and TV channel that suspend broadcasting because of a fuel crisis in Lebanon. So this is from comes from Beirut. Three radio stations and a TV channel in Lebanon have been forced to temporarily suspend broadcasting due to the country's fuel crisis, with a government minister saying she had requested support for media outlets, but to no avail. Lebanon's information minister said even Radio Liban, which speaks on behalf of the state, stops broadcasting whenever the electricity is cut off from the transmission centers spread across all Lebanese territories, and the government-owned Télé Liban, which will gradually stop broadcasting. The Télé Liban administration said that broadcast is being suspended between midnight and 7 in the morning in order to save on fuel. She added that she had sent letters to the Minister of Energy and the Army commander requesting support for official and private media institutions, but neither responded. Radio Sa'd el-Shahab, which is not affiliated with any political party, announced on Friday evening that it would temporarily suspend its programs due to the fuel crisis and because its guests could not reach its headquarters in Beirut. Radio Al-Shark and Future TV, both which are affiliated with the Future Movement political party, also suspended broadcasting. Radio Al-Shark's director, Kamal Richa, told Arab News the radio station, which was established in 1994, has never stopped broadcasting, but we had to turn off our generators due to shortage of diesel, and the broadcasting stopped a few days ago. Richa added, the radio administration secured on Saturday a quantity of diesel and informed us that we can resume broadcasting on Sunday, starting at 7 in the morning. However, we might have to stop broadcasting again, as nothing is guaranteed in Lebanon. On Tuesday, Lebanese Army Command announced a three-day crackdown carried out by units in various regions had resulted in the seizure of more than 4 million liters of gasoline and 221,000 liters of diesel that had been stored for smuggling or for sale, either on the black market or at high prices after fuel subsidies were lifted. The owners of these quantities were obliged to either sell them to the subsidized price or they would be seized and given to hospitals, bakeries, and private generators that have stopped working or about to stop, it said. Kind of an interesting story. And, you know, one of the things we often don't see is that a lot of these transmitters, because of the high power that they demand, actually work on their own generators rather than work on the standard power grid. And, of course, having no diesel or no fuel to for the generators is a big problem for the broadcasters. It's kind of interesting to see that they have this shortage right now.
Yeah, well, it's a shortage in one area, and then a lot of it being hoarded by people trying to
make
some quick money off of it by either smuggling it out or putting it on the black market. So it's kind of sad that that's happening. But radio stations depend on this, and we don't, as you said, we don't think of that many of these stations, maybe in remote areas too, where they have to run off of generators. If you don't have fuel, then you don't run your radio station.
Well, pretty much. And, you know, these are transmitters that demand so much energy that in most cases they have no choice anyways, because, you know, there's no power that is sufficient to actually have them active. So I hope that this gets better over time for sure.
This sort of thing probably goes on in other parts of the world and doesn't make the news. you know, Lebanon is, you know, this article at least proves that there is fuel there, but it's just not in the right hands. But there's probably other countries where fuel is more scarce, and small radio stations or any type of operation using generators that needs fuel is probably having to restrict the number of hours that they operate. So we just don't hear about these things. You know, we take so much for granted. And you know, this is a perfect example that not everything works the way we're used to seeing it work.
Absolutely. And I seem to remember in the my early days of shortwave listening that there were some stations, especially in some parts of the world, like in Africa, that had problems in getting the fuel to generators and often had to limit their on-air time.
Yeah, it's an important task to get the programming out, get the information out to people. And if you can't do it simply because you can't run the generator, then it's a real serious problem. Anyways, as you said, we hope they can get this situation sorted out. It seems that the military is going to have to crack down on getting hold of that contraband fuel, though, out of the hands of those black marketers.
So we are going to look at the sun, but just before, a little announcement for those that are following my live shows on YouTube. I've not done live shows in a little while because of all sorts of different things happening at the same time. And I was supposed to start this week, and it was so warm in Montreal that I decided to actually push back. So we're going to be back live starting, well, as this show airs, my first live show was yesterday, Saturday, the 28th of August. And from now on, of course, we will have our regular schedules of shows back on the official SWL channel, which is Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. That's for North America. But for most of the world, it's actually Thursday at 0 hours UTC. And we will, of course, have our show on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 20 hours Universal Time. And I think a lot of people are waiting for this because I'm getting more and more people writing me saying, so when are the shows coming back? Well, they should be back now. So listen in on Wednesday, Wednesday or Thursday UTC and Saturday. As for the sun, what's happening with the sun? Well, we've got some nice sunspot groups on the sun right now. Two of them are quite active. One is actually unleashing all sorts of small C-class flares. One is growing rapidly also, and it's looks like a bunch of islands on the sun. It's a really big group now that has started like just a few days ago. It was almost nothing, and now it's huge. So that means increased activity. Solar flux is, of course, higher now, near 90, which is should actually improve some shortwave propagation. So listen to the bands, because there might be some stuff happening on higher frequencies also and better signals overall. There isn't any significant coronal holes to create any problems. And last week we had talked about a coronal hole that might actually impact this week. Well, it did, but it was so weak that it didn't have much of an effect. So conditions are active on the sun, and with these big sunspots popping up, we never know. There could be solar flares, so that immediately degrades propagation. So on the sunlit side of Earth, this is going to have an impact, as when a solar flare happens, often there's degrading of propagation for a couple of minutes to an hour and a half, and who knows what's going to happen next. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on what's happening there. Spaceweather.com, a great website to have all the information. But the best way to measure propagation is just to turn on the radio and listen.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We next move to a couple of stories dealing with very, very low frequencies down in the long wave spectrum and even down below that, the VLF frequencies, very low frequency. The first story was passed along to us by Alex Kaminsky in Springboro, Ohio. And it's about a station that we've talked about in the past in Sweden, that every once in a while they fire up an old transmitter, generator, and send out a special signal. And they invite people around the world to tune in. It is the Alexander Grimeton Friendship Association reporting that an incredible number of listener reports, 524 in all, came in for its July 4th Alexanderson Day transmissions from SAQ, the Alexanderson Alternator Very Low Frequency Station in Sweden. That station transmits on 17.2 kilohertz. You can't get a whole lot lower than that, almost down to zero. So 17.2 kilohertz. They say, "We are overwhelmed by all the fantastic feedback we've received from all of you around the world in listener reports and on our YouTube channel," the association said. The Alexander Grimeton Friendship Association managed to carry out two successful transmissions to the world from the old Alexanderson Alternator SAQ. The first transmission was initiated at 0830 UTC with the startup and tuning of the Alexanderson Alternator. The message was sent out a half hour later, and the transmission event was live streamed via YouTube. A second transmission was made at 1200 UTC. Amateur radio station Sierra Kilo 6 Sierra Alpha Quebec, which operated from the SAQ site, was on the air for Alexanderson Day. On Alexanderson Day, HF conditions were not optimal, but the radio amateurs reached 169 QSOs with 21 countries, mostly in Europe and a few from the United States, the report continued. Two stations were in operation with both SSB and CW signals. So that's an interesting station. They do fire it up. It's a historical site in Sweden. And they do announce them well in advance. We've had the notices on our program over the years. And I've never heard it. I've tried, but we're in a difficult location inland to be able to hear something like this, yeah. Particularly near a big city where we have lots of noise on the low frequencies. But apparently they did get a couple reports from the east coast of the United States, where people are right on the Atlantic coast and can, in a quiet location, probably pick it up across the ocean. So
these are part of very low frequencies that, first of all, you got to have the equipment, because not a lot of radios go there. Thanks to SDRs, a lot of them do go down to 17 kilohertz. But also, you know, the conditions, the antennas that you need for the possibility to hear this. I would guess if you hear the transatlantic long wave signals, that there's a good chance that you might hear 17.2 if you try. But like you said, here in Montreal, I've, first of all, never heard any transatlantic long wave stations ever. So that also tells me, if I can't hear those powerful stations from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, I don't think I'm going to hear the ACQ transmission. But it's still something to try for. I mean, you know, I say it so often on the channel, on the YouTube channel, you've got to try it even if you think it's impossible, because sometimes you can be surprised.
Yeah, we should have mentioned that the transmission that they put out on 17.2 kilohertz is not voice transmission.
No.
It's CW. It's Morse code. So that does cut through a lot of noise sometimes. So that's a possibility, if you're in a good location. And particularly in the winter months would be much better to try for something like this than in the summer. There's a lot of atmospheric noise in the summer as well. So, but we tell you about it each time they do transmit, and you never know. Like you said, turn the radio on and give it a shot.
Yep.
Our other story is a long wave story as well, a little further up the band, though. A station, long wave transmission in Ireland. They're back on the air. It comes from the Southgate Amateur Radio News. It is RTE Ireland on 252 kilohertz. They carried out essential maintenance on their long-wave transmitter in Clarkstown for 2 months, during which period the RTE Radio 1 was not available on 252 kilohertz. This essential maintenance of the transmitter was due to be carried out in 2020, but was postponed due to COVID-19 restrictions. For the health and safety of those carrying out the works, the transmitter had to be switched off for the works period. Any overhaul has to be completed during the summer months when there is good light and weather conditions. Transmissions commenced once again last Monday with an output power of 500 kilowatts during daytime and 100 kilowatts at nighttime. During the shutdown, one could receive Radio Algeria transmitting on the same frequency. They use 1.5 megawatts of power during daytime and 750 kilowatts at night, broadcasting various types of programming. So that's one station that I've actually heard in Montreal, again, in the winter months. I have had some success with longwave, particularly in the winter. There's not as many stations there now as there used to be. A number of countries have shut some of them down. But that's one that you might want to give a shot to, you know, pretty high-powered stations on longwave that they use similar to what we do in North America with medium wave broadcasting. Yep. They cover large areas of territory with their high power on the longwave band. Of course, as Jill said, you need a radio that covers that spectrum.
This is interesting. I'm going to have to try a little more because when we listen to the longwave non-directional beacons, which isn't the same frequency range, because here in North America it's used for that. With all that I've actually received, it's now like giving me hope that maybe I should try for some of these. And actually, it was a scare for RTE on 252, because they were supposed to come on the air a little earlier than this Monday date that they had. And so I saw a lot of posts on groups where people are saying, well, are they coming back? Did they say they were going to, you know, do maintenance and they decided, oh, well, let's, you know, shut it off? Because that's one of the big scares right now on the longwave bands in Europe. A lot of these stations are moving off longwave, unfortunately. So maybe that's also another reason why it would be important to try to de-X these stations, because as they slowly fade away, it's still time to have a few of them. And that Algerian one is really, really popular on the East Coast. A lot of people are hearing it, and I just can't believe that they're putting out 1.5 megawatts on that frequency.
Yeah, there's a few of those stations that are, I think there's another one, I forget which one it is now, that's 2 megawatts on longwave. Yeah. So, yeah, that's incredible amounts of power, but understandable that their signals cover very wide territory. So always check it out. For those not familiar, the long wave band is in the spectrum below our standard AM band. Yep. So down below 530 kilohertz is where you'll find the long wave band. Way down at the low end, the 150 to, what is it, 150 to 250, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's interesting when you see these European radios over there, you'll see that the dial has LW and MW, because it's the long wave, medium wave, that is a standard on these radios, something we don't see here in North America.
That's for sure, yeah.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, we have 5 of them coming up for you for next weekend. So if you're into contesting as an amateur or just listening into some of the contests, these are some of the ones coming up this next weekend. First is the All Asian DX contest. It's a phone contest, 0100 Zulu September 4th to 2359 Zulu September 5th, sponsored by the Japan Amateur Radio League. The bands are 160 through 10 meters. The mode is phone or SSB. And a good time to look for ham radio stations operating from Asian countries. Sometimes a difficult part of the world to hear hams. There's a few countries that don't have a lot of hams that will be on the air as well. So this one will be a good chance if you're a country chaser on the ham bands. You might hear some really interesting stations from Asian countries.
Yep, and September is actually a pretty good time. Almost every year when I hear some Japanese station, for example, it's usually around September, October. So it might be a good time in North America to try it. There's the Wake Up QRP Sprint from 06 to 08 Zulu, September 4th, sponsored by the Russian QRP Club. The power, no more than 5-watt output, bands 40 and 20 meters near the QRP frequencies, and the mode is CW.
We have the AGCW Straight Key Party, 1300 to 1600 Zulu, September 4th. That's sponsored by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. The objective is to promote the use of manual keys for CW, or Morse code sending. This contest is open to all amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners as well. The bands are 80 and 40 meters in CW only.
And there's the PODXS070 Club J UDEC Memorial 80 Meter Sprint, 20 hours Zulu, September 4th to 20 hours Zulu, September 5th, sponsored by the Penn Ohio DX Society. And this is 80 meters only, and all modes are permitted.
And finally, the CW Ops CW Open. This is a short one, 2000 to 2359 Zulu on September the 4th, sponsored by the CW Operators Club. The object is to work as many CW stations worldwide. Of course, the mode is CW only. The bands are 160 through 10 meters. And we'll put up links for all of these contests so you can go in and check out the rules and regulations of each of them and get more details about QSLing, etc., relating to any of these contests.
Yep, as we're getting into September, and that weekend is actually a long weekend for North America. It's the Labor Day weekend, so maybe time to check your antennas and listen to the radio and check those different contests might be of interest.
One quick note, a lot of stuff going on, obviously, in Afghanistan. Yep. And if you're looking for something interesting to listen to, I would say any BBC news reports. They are doing some really good coverage of what's going on in Afghanistan. So just check out the BBC World Service frequencies. There are many of them, some target areas, different parts of the world, different times. So depending on where you are, find some broadcasts that are coming into your area and check them out. Their news broadcasts are exceptionally good. They still do have some reporters in Afghanistan.
Yep, been following them. And once again, if you're in North America, the 0 UTC 9575 and the 04 UTC 9915 frequency are really good. And it's really interesting to follow what's happening there. It's minute by minute what's happening there. It changes all the time. So following the excellent BBC World Service coverage is really interesting. And we are out of time.
Yep, we are. We thank you for tuning in today. If you want to reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com, or check out our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We thank you for listening. You'll catch us again next Sunday morning at 10:30 Eastern, 14:30 UTC on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, ckut.ca, for the International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye. And to end this episode, here is what it sounds like for the station SAQ on 17.2 kHz long wave from Sweden.
With his methylated sandwich. is a walking clothesline. And here comes the bishop's daughter on the other side. And she looks a trifle jealous. She's been an outcast all